Good evening and welcome to the service. Good to be with you again tonight. I always love hymn sing. And one of the things I like about it is that everybody gets to participate. So if you've got a selection after this one, please make it known. And I'll take two selections after this song. For the first number, though, let's turn to church hymnal number 25. I love the songs we have in these books, and there's a lot of songs about commitment and about the Father's care for us and so on, but there's something beautiful about people who love the Lord, I think, just worshiping Him, and that's what this song so beautifully is about. And I'm also singing it because it is currently one of my daughter's favorite songs, so it's sort of for her too. Number 25 in the church hymnal.
Oh, joyful, joyful, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before Thee, hail Thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, dry the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All Thy works with joy surround the earth, and every fleck Thy rays. Stars and angels sing around Thee, center of chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in Thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean, depth of us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
So stand.
Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song of love.
May be seated. What's your selection? 340? And what was the other one?
454.
Okay, so 340. I'll take the one next. Number 340.
Oh, on the mountain tops appearing, Lord, sacred herald stands, welcome news to Zion bearing, Zion on hostile land. Cease thy mourning, Zion's fear is well beloved. God, thy God, will now restore thee. Himself appears thy friend. All thy foes shall flee before thee. Hear their boasts and triumphs end. Great deliverance, Zion's King assuredly sent. Great deliverance, Zion's King. Joy shall now attend thee, all thy warfare now be past. God, thy Savior, will defend thee. Victory is thine at last. All thy conflicts end in everlasting rest.
The message of that song, we seek our rest elsewhere, not here, don't we? All right, 454, is that right? Number 454. Ladies, sing the next verse.
Now I rest in
have Chuck Clausen here with us this evening, and he's consented to lead us in our devotional.
Good evening, and greetings in the name of Jesus. And I have to say that I'm not necessarily a quick study, so I happen to have a little bit of a devotional that I had prepared for Burkesville, and I thought it would be fitting anywhere, so I thought I would give that one while I was here. Let's bow our heads for a prayer to start out with, ask the Lord's guidance. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy in our lives. We see it everywhere, Lord, that you save souls, and that's what you desire. And pray that we would do your will, and it'd be the people that you'd have us be, Lord. Pray that you'd guide me as I give the devotional here, that it would be the words you'd want me to say. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Tell a little bit about our story. Just to start off, it's not necessarily to tell all of our story or anything, but when we left the LDS church, we started going here. We went here for about a year and a half, I believe, and we felt very welcome here and really enjoyed the fellowship, and we were looking for something new, and felt very blessed by being here. We saw a difference in the youth and the people that we weren't used to elsewhere, and drew our attention that some people were actually trying to live differently than those around them, you know. But after, when Vanessa was at a, years later after that, Vanessa was at a Bible school up in Africa, PA, and she called up and she had Suzanne on the phone, and she said, Mom, I got saved. And I said, what do you mean you got saved? We thought, you know, you were saved. And we all had these spiritual moments. God was leading us as we left the LDS church, but we really didn't have a moment where we realized we were wretched and we were sinners, and that we had that there was no way we could ever be saved without Christ. You know, it was kind of like we thought we just, it was like this, make a decision and follow the Lord, keep his commandments, and it's okay with us, you know. But God has to work in our heart. And we didn't realize that at that point. We had all felt the Holy Spirit touch our hearts and count it as our salvation experience. And I'm not saying that everybody has to have a full-blown salvation experience to be saved. What I'm saying is that we need to realize that we're sinners and that we're lost without Christ. And we hadn't realized that at that point. We thought we were just following the right path. And so it kind of took us as a surprise. Well, we thought we were all saved. And she said something that the biggest thing I want to say about this is that she said something that she was told by somebody. It says, it never hurts to examine your faith. It only can be constructive, not destructive. And so so Susanna agreed to go and study and see that. And of course, we found out that we weren't saved. And that's a whole other story. My question is, do we assume that we're okay with God? Or do we base our salvation on one-time experience, even if there isn't any fruit to show for it? And I know that we all learn as we go. I think God obviously brings us all out. There's, you know, I've talked to many people, and there's a lot of people that have been born again, but God is still teaching them little by little of what they need to change. And it's not everything changes automatically at once. It seems that way. My question is, do we need to examine ourselves to make sure? And so I'd like to read in Galatians 5:14 through the end of the chapter, starting at verse 14 of chapter 5 of Galatians. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if we bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one with one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. Incidentally, it talks about biting, devouring. I'm assuming that kind of talks about backbiting and talking about other people behind their backs. Can we produce fruit of the Spirit? You know, some might say yes, but I think fruits of the Spirit come from the Spirit that comes within us. I think we can do good works, but I'm not sure that we can produce good fruits of the Spirit. I think that's what God does in us. It comes out just naturally when we're saved, I believe. until I realized I was lost, God couldn't save me. We can't be saved if we're never lost, if we don't, you know. How can you save something that's lost or that's not lost? Do we trust in the church or denomination for salvation, or do we trust in the saving blood of Jesus Christ? I've been to many denominations across the country, and from one end to the other, it seems like so many times we get so stuck into that our particular church is the only one that has it all figured out, and I just think we need to be very careful of that, we realize that that we follow the Word of God. And if there's something down the line, we've all come out from a background, well, not the young people probably, but some of the older ones that came out of maybe Amish background or other backgrounds, they realized there was something not right there, and that's what made them make the change. That's why we changed. So we should always evaluate that, I think. Does our lost neighbor see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us and want to have what we have, or are they happy that they're not here? You know, that's something we have to make sure too. In our case, we felt that there was something here that we didn't have there, and we're in charge of the youth in the LDS church over there in Ava, and we didn't see any. You know, it's like you're always fighting to keep modesty an issue there, and I mean, it was always something. And so I appreciate the traditions and the desire to follow God that we saw here. Satan loves us in the spot where we think we're saved, but we're not. Now, if we're just following a religion, going each week, and then the rest of the week we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, it seems like a lot of people in the world I've seen go once a week and kind of like fulfill their church duties, and then they're off to doing what they usually do. Sadly enough, a lot of people I've talked to also have started some of their worst vices from people they went to church with. So we definitely need to seek after that fruit. I was looking in a book of the Marks and Martyrs. It has a very varying martyrs stories, some from modern day in Indonesia and Sudan, and others from that talked about the apostles Paul and Thomas and all the others too. It was a mixture of a bunch of them, and there was one that was, I think it was during the USSR time, and they were torturing this lady, and she had had enough of it. And she was going to tell that night. She was going to tell the person she was a Christian, and she was being persecuted because they didn't like Christians. They wanted everybody to be atheists in the communism. That's what they believe in. They don't believe in God, and so they were torturing her. And the same person came in and tortured her every night. It seemed like every day it was the same thing, and she was sick and tired, and she was going to tell him face to face this time that he was a vile, disgusting person, that he shouldn't be doing this kind of thing, you know. But then as he came in, God put in her heart, and I'm trying to remember because I don't have the book with me, but she said that love came over this person, and she realized that he was stuck in the same old trap that she was. He didn't want to be there beating her any more than she wanted to be beat. As a matter of fact, Stalin had killed, I think it was hundreds of thousands of his own people. And so many of them were in the same position this person was, that was beaten, you know, the leaders of the communism. So she realized that, and then she talked to him, you know, and said that... Actually, what happened is she kind of had a piece of look on her face, and he looks and says, "What are you looking like that for?" And so she kind of explained that, "I realize you're in the same situation." And she explained about how she felt and her beliefs and all that. And that guy put down the thing, didn't beat her, and never came back. And he was a changed man from that day on. It doesn't say what happened to him, but he was a changed man because that person had the fruits of the Spirit. She finally realized that the love of God could show through her to this man. In I want to read a story. I don't know how I probably should end soon here, but in Proverbs 12:10, just read it real quick. 12:10, it says, "Righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." I think that means that that the righteous man, when he regards the life of his beast, it means he has mercy and will have some sort of a tenderness towards, you know, the animals that we've been given by God to take care of us. There's a story in Numbers I wanted to read real quick here while we have time. Numbers 22:26-32. I don't know if you recognize where that is. We need to back up a little bit. I'll just tell the story of here. What happened is Balaam was going to go and he was asked by Balak to go and curse Israel, and so Balak was on the way, and as he's on the way, his ass, his donkey there was kept moving out of the way, and let's see here. Sorry, I'm in the wrong spot here. Let's see. And here at one spot, the angel of the Lord in 26 says, "The angel of the Lord went further and sat in the narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left, because he had already stopped two or three times. He kept seeing the angel of the Lord. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, he fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and said, and she said unto Balaam, 'What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?' And Balaam said unto thee, Do they ask, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which I have ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in the hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. The angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I would have slain thee and saved her. It's interesting that he had more regard for the beast there than Balaam, because he was disobedient in that. And of course, the ass didn't do anything wrong. It was just doing what it thought was best for it and for its master, you know. So, in closing, I'd like to read 2 Timothy 1, 2. I know that I don't know if anybody knows Eli Yoder, but he's up in Ohio. He was visiting our church there in Burksville a month or so ago. And he talked about sin, and he said, are we passive to sin? Do we hate sin like Christ hated sin but love the sinner? And that really struck me, you know, are we passive to sin? Do we just like, you know, do we stand up for righteousness? Because sometimes when we're around and people speak evil or they say something they shouldn't or take the Lord's name in vain, do we really speak up? Something to think about. I personally don't as much as I need to. I think we need, if we did that, we'd probably be persecuted much more in this country. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that may be led in quiet and peaceful life in good godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That we would have the fruit of the Spirit is my desire, and I just thank God for what He's done in my life and my family's life, and for saving us from the darkness. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for the time we have here, and pray that you'd bless our time together, and that we'd take the words of your word into our lives and do your will, Lord. That we remember who we are and who we stand for, that we be your ambassadors to those around us. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Chuck, for that devotional. It was a challenging thought about the... Am I just in a rut? Am I just thinking that going to Seymour here is going to save me, or am I actually on fire for God? So thanks a lot for that. All right, let's turn to song number 33 in the church hymnal. Song number 33.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, children, for those songs, and thank you, Andrea, for leading them. I also really enjoyed your devotional, Chuck. I had to think of a story that I heard one time about a man, drunkard, who was saved, and sometime later, one of his friends was talking to his son and was trying to discredit his father's salvation. He said there is no God, and he has no power to change people. And he was doing this, he was talking extensively here to this boy. Finally, the boy said, "Well, you might be able to persuade me, but you'll never persuade our dog." Now, and it's, I think it's so true. Does our salvation reach all the way down to our animals? And I think that the verses should apply to all of us. The righteous regardeth the life of his beast. Does our salvation reach to our animals? Really appreciate everything that you shared. Of course, beyond that. All right, who has a selection? 28 in the church hymnal. Number 28 in the church hymnal. After this song, Andy Miller has a group, a men's group, consisting of, first of all, there'll be a small group, and after one song, then all the fathers are asked to come up, and we'll sing a song together. Number 28.
Good evening. First song we're going to sing is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. And I was just thinking today, I was looking for a song and thinking about the service this morning and some things that were said in Sunday school. Jonah, God had to bring Jonah completely to the end of himself before he could really start to work with him. And then also tonight it was challenging what Chuck said about really realizing that we're a sinner in need of Christ. And you know, the only way that we'll get anywhere is if we just turn ourselves over to God's guiding hand and let him do with us what he wants. And then the second song, Faith of Our Fathers, you dads, fathers can get ready to come right up after this song, bring a Christian hymnal with you if you care to, number 434. I had to think when Matt was talking this morning about, he asked the question, do we have an influence to the seventh generation beyond us? And you know, that's sobering, isn't it? Because we do have an influence on those that come after us, whether it's for good or bad, or maybe it'll probably be one or the other. And so that's just a challenge for me, and I'd like to pass that on tonight also to the rest of us, to be that influence that is a positive one, one for the glory of God.
Yeah, second.
I can tell you that it's easy.
Who's all singing the lead? Is Rand all singing the bass or what?
You'll put the lead right here. Well, lead over here.
Where should I go?
You said lead over here.
Yeah, I said lead here. Okay.
Yeah, but it's up to you.
Who all singing the lead here?
I can have singing.
You guys? You all bass here? Okay, I'll help you. We need a couple more leads over here.
You can sing
Marie, you want to sing over here?
Yeah, let's
sing. I'll sing one, two. All right, 4-3-4. Okay, we're going to move on to the faith of our fathers living still. We're going to keep going.
Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon fire and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true.
Singing that song. All right, let's turn to song number 259 in the church hymnal. Song number 259.
Glory to God.
group, I believe, by the youth girls.
The first song we're singing tonight is I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And often we don't know what the future holds, and even though we don't always understand why and where God is leading us, we know that we can trust him with full confidence. And the second song we're going to sing is Be Still and Know. And the first verse says, Be still and know that I am God. And the second verse, I am the Lord that strengthens thee. And there's a verse in Isaiah 30 that says, In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And I'm just so thankful for that promise.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know. Tomorrow, it may bring me bothers.
beautiful message too. I don't know how the rest of you, but when the children were up front here singing, and they sang the one song and they finished it, I all of a sudden realized that I was listening for Dan to say amen, because he would have said amen right there. I don't know. I've caught myself doing that fairly frequently recently, and you know, we really miss him, don't we? There's something about certain people that just really lend something that is their unique gift to our church, and we appreciate each one. And that was his. That's one of his. All right, let's sing a couple of choruses now. That's one thing that I remember doing more when I was a boy. And I think we'll start out with I Met Jesus at the Crossroads. I had to think about that in relation to what Chuck shared with us this evening. Have we really met Jesus at those crossroads? And then let's do the one. Well, maybe we shouldn't. But we'll try that one, and then we'll see what comes next. I met Jesus at the crossroads, where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there, and he said, "Come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today." But I said, "No, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me. Down here my sins forgiven, up there a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me." Amen. All right, how do you think we can do Oh Let the Hills Now Sing for Joy? Men can do that one? I'm notorious for starting songs high, so can somebody give me an approximation of where that song needs to start? That one I know, I've frequently lead it high. Oh, somewhere in there.
Oh, oh, let the hills now sing for joy, and let the
this time, there's going to be a mixed group with Chelsea in charge.
We're only singing one song tonight because that's all we had time for to study, so bear with us. We don't know this song very well, but it's one that we sang in chorus out where I taught school, and just the words immediately struck me just right where I was at the time, so just hopefully they can speak something to you too, and bear with us.
We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We find the strength to stand through it.
you, Chelsea, for that group. I was over in Moore, Oklahoma this last week, and it was amazing to me the attitude that, we talked to some of the people there, and the attitude that was there. We talked to this one man, and he said how his, I think it was his wife's sister or mother or something, some relation of hers. It was her, I think it was her mom or something, and her sister had a little baby. And this tornado, when it went through, after it was all over, the baby was out there on the fence, just had a couple bruises, and the baby's mom had just a couple bruises also, but her mom was totally, she was dead, killed her. And he said his wife goes over there every day and just cries at her house. But he said he himself, he's like, but you know, what are we to do? Life goes on. You can't just cry about it. You gotta keep going. And you know, we were there, we took his whole house and just moved it out of the curb, I mean everything in it. And he had to start over. And I'm just glad that we have a lot to be thankful for here. And we have the everlasting arms of God to lean on also, and I'm just so thankful for that. So let's turn to Psalm number 445 in the church hymnal. Psalm number 445. Chorus come up on the last verse. Let me start that over.
This evening. First one is a favorite, has been a favorite of mine since I can remember it from my preteen years. As many of you know, I like songs from Africa, and this one comes from Ghana. West Africa. Fill us with your love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. He also said something else one time when asked to summarize a law. He said, love God with all your heart and so forth, and love your neighbor as yourself. But another time he said, a new commandment I give you, one that's even maybe more intense, and that is to love each other as I have loved you. How can we get stronger than that? So fill us with your love, and may it reach out to other people. The second song is a song of joy and strength. It also comes from Africa. It comes from East Africa, and it's probably the most well-known African gospel song to be here in the United States, and that is, we are marching in the light of God. It's a little bit of a different tempo, different rhythm, but one that's a joy to sing. And then the last one I want to sing, we want to sing up here, is in honor or memory or whatever. A number of people have gone, and at least three that we know in the last week. Aunt Magdalena and Charles Haney and Rosemary Cook. So I'd like to sing a song of heaven, specifically as we think about death and the end of the road.
Thank you. marching, marching, we are marching, marching, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching, marching, we are marching, marching, we are marching in the light of God. We are living in the love 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 of God. We are living, living, we are living. We are living in the love of God.
All right, well, thank you each one for taking part tonight, and this concludes our program, and we'll turn the rest of the time over to the ministry.
Very much blessed by being here tonight. I thought that last song summed it up so well. What a day, glorious day that will be. Trust we're all looking forward to that day.